...... I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Father.
It's 10:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. Good morning. KSL's top local story. Wildfire season has arrived in Utah. A pop-up field fire in Harriman was doused by crews quickly Friday. There are three wildfires burning in the state today. The Lackey Fan Fire has consumed about 800 acres near Arches. The Rock Creek Fire in eastern Utah burning 235 acres so far. And this morning, a new fire in the Manti La Salle National Forest. The Dark Canyon Fire covers about 100 acres and is expected to grow.
In Dark Canyon, there were several small fires that were put out, but then the Dark Canyon Fire became apparent. And so we are getting help with law enforcement to get, you know, anybody who might be hiking down there, backpacking, out of Dark Canyon.
State Natural Resources spokesperson Sandy Nelson says the Dark Canyon Fire may grow. Winds and thunderstorms are in the forecast. Almost half of Utah's 1,500 wildfires last year were entirely preventable, which is why Governor Gary Herbert is asking people to just use common sense.
Don't use exploding targets. Be careful where you shoot. These are targets. Again, we would encourage people to go to the ranges that are set aside for that very purpose.
And he encourages very careful campground and fireplace use. Last year's fire season, one of the worst ever, you'll recall, in the Beehive State. Hang gliding enthusiasts battling government officials and Geneva Rock to save their windy mecca from being destroyed. Chris Hunlow of SaveSteepMountain.org wants to save Point of the Mountain for paragliders.
A land swap or a purchase might be the only way that Geneva would want to be able to leave, because they're well established here, they're settled in here, they own the land.
They're willing to take less than what the land is worth to keep the flyers happy, but Geneva has not reached a deal with anyone so far. Coming up on KSL News Radio, a beautiful Father's Day weekend forecast next. KSL News Time, 10:05.
Within the last few years, this program was used to stop a terrorist attack in the United States.
On KSL News Radio. In-depth information in your car.
This type of thing just makes me nuts.
And all night long.
This is really hard-hitting stuff, Ethan. You ready for this?
KSL News Radio.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Those east and west side I-80 ramps to southbound I-215 near the airport, along with the ramp from Redwood Road to the southbound I-215, closing until Monday, about 12 noon. So use SR-201 or 700 North to access the southbound 215. Wasatch Front weather, sunshine for your Father's Day weekend. 86 today, 90 tomorrow, 63 tonight. Summer's here, and Sutherland's prices are hotter than ever. Get Sutherland Super Deck Wood Stains, 3-oil system that offers easy one-coat application, available in 7 colors. Sutherland's priced at $31.99 per gallon, 67 degrees at 10:08. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. Headed into the final hour of the Greenhouse for another week. Matt Townsend will be in an hour from now, and it's nice to have you with us, as always, on a Saturday. Ton, we had originally talked about, you know, doing a segment here on perennials, but we've made an executive decision because we can do that. And we'll do that next week, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's great. We've got so many calls. I think we should probably get the folks helped out, and we can cover the perennials next week.
Yeah, and we had a lot of ground to cover. We wanted to make sure we got Ricardo in here because he had such great information for people that are starting to see some damage in their turf from these pests. And we wanted to make sure that word got out about the Tooele garden tour out there with Jay Cooper. So we appreciate everybody's patience. Alyssa, Nick, Russ, LaRue, we know you're there. I'm going to start with Isaac, though, who's on the line in Harriman. Isaac, welcome in. Thanks for listening to the Greenhouse.
Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, I have two questions. The first one is I planted some asparagus in the spring, and I got some roots from a local nursery, and then I did just some seeds. And the seed variety was the Martha Washington one. I don't remember what the roots were. Nothing's come up, and they're not grown at all, so I can tell anything of.
At this point, if the seed hasn't germinated and the roots haven't sprouted new shoots, I don't know that they're going to. And so it would be something to either try to reseed those, and you could try doing that in potting soil in a tray in a bright location in your house to control the moisture a little bit more, and then once you get those seedlings established, go ahead and plant them out. You still have plenty of time that they'll get established enough to overwinter, or you can wait for next year and try to replant again.
Okay. So you think I did something wrong on those? Maybe didn't keep them moist enough, or just...
With horticulture and living things, there's so many variables that you could have done everything right, and for whatever reason, the seed may not have been viable or the starts could have been dead. I'm not saying they were, but you know, you can do everything right and still have failure in horticulture quite often. That's one thing that gardeners just, I guess, learn over time. And you can't control all the variables. And so that's why I recommended maybe putting the seed in a tray in artificial potting soil indoors and getting new seed, just so that you can water a little bit more judiciously, watch things. Once you get those up and going and get them rooted a bit, plant those out. And sometimes that's a little easier than just going ahead and planting in your garden soil.
Mm-hmm. Last question was, how often should I water... or should I fertilize my vegetables, especially tomato plants?
It's actually going to depend on the crop. And instead of trying to go through every one of them, what I will refer you to is to the USU webpage. And if you go to garden.usu.edu, or just use Google and say there's tomatoes here showing up on the screen, and so you Google USU and tomatoes in the garden, it'll explain how to fertilize and when. But the short answer on the tomatoes is you fertilize pretty soon after you plant, and in between 4 and 6 weeks later. But you don't want to fertilize too late because you will get a lot of green growth and not a lot of tomatoes.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of little kids out there that don't like tomatoes that would want you to fertilize every week so they don't have to eat any. But if you want the tomatoes, just hold off the fertilizer the second half of the season.
No, no. Save the tomatoes. We could do without the asparagus. That's what you meant to say.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call. Now, actually, I like asparagus cooked correctly with a little cheese sauce on it. Now, that I will have, you know, any night of the week. All right. LaRue on the line in Hooper. Welcome in, LaRue.
Thank you. I have a question about my peonies. This year, they the bud just dried right up and no flower.
But the plants are healthy otherwise?
Yes.
Did you see any insect pests feeding on those or doing anything that it was obvious that, you know?
I didn't, but I didn't look very close either.
What I would recommend, if the plants are obviously healthy and the flower buds just kind of dried up, I suspect that it may have been an insect pest that got in there. And next year, when you start to see those buds to form, it may be worth spraying with 7 or malathion or another insecticide just on those blossoms to keep whatever it was out.
7 or malathion.
Yes, or any other general insecticide.
In the spring.
Yes, when the buds start to form and pop up out of the middle of the plant.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. The pest on my peonies this year were my little kids. I probably had 40 or 50 blossoms on 3 plants, and half of them disappeared to my little kids picking them off before they even opened.
Well, and on that one, Ton, I'm going to give you the same advice you give everybody else. Start with a kinder, gentler approach to your control measures, okay?
Oh, I will. A gentle talking to you. Please don't pull the flowers.
And then instead of the insecticidal soap, find a, you know, Dove or Palmolive or something and just bathe them, and that'll fix the problem. Let's see. Russ, Salt Lake City, next. Welcome into the greenhouse. Russ, nice to have you.
Good morning, guys. White powdery mold on my lawn. I've aerated, raised the lawnmower up as high as it'll go. Grass looks beautiful everywhere else, but I've got one spot about 10 by 10.
Is it shady there?
Yes, it is. I've got some ostrich.
Powdery mildew.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you tried a fungicide?
I have not yet.
I would find a liquid fungicide from one of the local garden centers. There are several of them labeled for lawn use, and don't use a granular because you want the fungicide to stick to the blades of the grass. And okay. You'll probably have to treat according to label, which will be every week to 2 weeks, but you're going to want to treat 2 or 3 or 4 times throughout the summer to see if you can get that under control. And then manage your watering very carefully, and then water. You may even have to water in the morning when the sun's up, but it's still cool, so all the excess water evaporates off as quickly as it possibly can.
Should I try starving it for water?
Not necessarily. You can try drying it down a little bit would definitely help out, because those shady areas don't require near as much water as the sunny areas do in the yard. And so drying it out a bit will definitely help. But you still, you know, if that doesn't work, you still may need to temporarily resort to a fungicide.
Okay, so fungicide and cut back a little bit on the water and try getting it dry out a little.
Yes, and then water when the sun comes up, but in the morning when it's still cool, so the excess water that sits on those grass blades evaporates off as quickly as possible.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
All right, Russ, thanks. That'll clear a line again in Salt Lake City at KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. Jeff, let's break here. That'll give us some more time before we get to news on the half hour. And on the other side, I know that Nick and Alyssa are on the line. Alyssa's in Linden. But if you want to jump on and be next in the greenhouse, good time to do it, 801-575-8255. And again, if you're listening outside the area, maybe online today, you can do it at 888-KSL-TALK or 888-575-8255. We're back with more of your phone calls in this final hour of the KSL Greenhouse.
Visit KSLNewsRadio.com today and find out more about Shields Fish Fest, June 28th, 29th, and 30th. You could win a $100 Shields gift card. Visit KSLNewsRadio.com to win all-day lagoon passports. Seniors, print your KSL golden ticket, where on Tuesdays, guests 65 and older get a second lagoon passport for just $5 with the purchase of one at $45.95 plus tax. And visit KSLNewsRadio.com to find out about the Wasatch Front Farmers Markets, Saturdays at Gardner Village and Sundays at Wheeler Farm. So log on today and win at KSLNewsRadio.com.
Why not celebrate summer in bold fashion in beautiful Bryce Canyon City? There's no better place for vibrant scenery, pleasant temperatures, and a scenic road trip as you enjoy Bryce Canyon National Park, a wonderful 7,600-foot high elevation respite that provides mild summer temperatures and cool evenings. There's certainly plenty to do, including hiking, breathtaking photography, ranger programs, and world-class stargazing, not to mention the hundreds of miles of wide-open ATV trails that interconnect Bryce Canyon City at the edge of the Ponsagunt Plateau, great for outdoor enthusiasts and wildlife viewing. Bryce Canyon National Park is open year-round, offering convenient shuttle service with daily runs that connect hospitality like Ruby's Inn and Ruby's Campground sites. Bryce Canyon National Park is perfect for families with astronomy programs and stargazing activities. Ask about the Junior Ranger program for kids. Then, don't forget in July, their fourth annual Geology Festival, July 26th and 27th. Celebrate summer in bold Bryce Canyon City fashion. For information, visit Bryce Canyon City. UT.gov.
Call the KSL Greenhouse with your questions. We're at KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. And it's only on KSL News Radio.
Well, I like it when we get a lot of you taken care of, and we still got time here before Dan comes back in the KSL News Center with the latest local and regional news for you. We'll look forward to checking in with Dan Jessup in a couple of minutes. But in the meantime, more phone calls. Nick, tell us where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Layton.
All right, go ahead with your question for Tom.
Well, what I'm wondering about, I've got a gardenia tree for my wife here on Mother's Day, and anyhow, the flower buds keep turning brown and woody. And anyhow, seems I remember here years ago in California, I had the same problem with a gardenia, and they recommended using copper sulfate, but I don't remember how now.
Well, the gardenias are not hardy here. I usually see them as a patio plant or something that you would give someone as a temporary, like a living bouquet. And so on that, the gardenias, I'll just have to admit up front, that's one that I haven't dealt with too much. But if you were using copper sulfate, that would have indicated a fungal problem. And there are many fungicides available from local garden centers, and there's even ready to use in spray containers. And so if you tried a rose fungicide, you could do that, or you actually can buy copper sulfate at the garden centers right now.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder how to use it. I used a little bit of Miracid, Miracle-Gro, in the water to water the ground underneath the plant or the pot. But they say not to use any fertilizer during the blooming time.
Well, the Miracid isn't going to harm your blooming because the nitrogen in there is at such a low amount that it's basically just keeping the plant healthy.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like us taking vitamins every night. Yeah. Now, say you were to put, like we do our lawns, where they get a huge dose of nitrogen and then they get starved for a while and then another huge dose, that can affect the flowering quite a bit, but just the Miracid itself won't harm your blooming.
Okay. But you say to use some kind of a fungicide spray on it?
If that's what was recommended in California, the copper sulfate is generally used as a fungicide, and so you could try another one. And just out of ease, you could maybe try an over-the-counter. Bayer and Ortho and several other companies have fungicides in a ready-to-spray bottle. Oftentimes they're labeled for roses, but you can use them on multiple other plants.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, give it a shot. If that doesn't work out, run the plant into the extension office at the Farmington Courthouse, the historic courthouse,
yeah,
and let Brittany take a look at it. And she might be able to get you a little farther. But as far as the fungicide goes, that's what I would try up front.
Okay. Well, I'll give her a try. And, hey, thanks a lot for your help.
You're welcome.
Nick, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling today. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Lyndon. Alyssa on the line there. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi. Thanks for having me this morning. I'm calling about a Gravenstein apple tree that we have. It's fairly new. It's about 3 years old. And the first year we had it, it produced fruit. And then the last couple years, it hasn't produced any fruit at all. And we were just wondering what's going on there, what we could do to help the tree.
So the tree's only been in the ground 3 years?
Yeah.
And have you done any pruning to the tree?
Yeah, we prune it in the fall. Or in the spring, we prune it.
Okay. And then have you been following a pruning guide or just what looks best? Have you been pruning it?
We have an apple orchard behind us, and the guy that owns the apple orchard comes and prunes it for us.
Okay. And they probably don't know this, but do you know what kind of a rootstock the apple was grafted onto?
I have no idea.
Okay. Because if it produced fruit the first year and then the last couple it hasn't, there's could be two or three things going on, and I'll just go through each one because as far as why all of a sudden a tree stops producing fruit but is otherwise healthy can be pretty hard to figure out sometimes. The first one is too much fertilizer. What kind of fertilizer has the tree received?
It's received, I think, just like a generic regular fertilizer. I don't think we fertilize it too much, though.
Okay, that's good. And then pruning is the other one. If it's pruned incorrectly, the tree won't produce any fruit. But in this situation, it's not necessarily bad that it hasn't, because you want the tree to get established for 3 or 4 years before you really start taking a harvest off of it. And so if you have somebody that has an apple orchard that's been training the tree, he may have been training that tree in a way that the tree will be around for 50 years due to good pruning and the branches won't split out. But when you do that, you cut a lot of the fruiting wood off initially.
Okay. So it should probably come back maybe in the next year or two?
As you get the tree more mature and you get those structural and scaffold branches developed, the apple will produce apples off buds that, you know, the wood has to be there for more than 1 year for it to produce a bud. And so if there's been pruning on it and a lot of training and things, that probably knocked a lot of the fruiting wood off. But as the tree matures over the next 2 to maybe 4 or 5 years, it should produce more fruit producing buds that will then give you apples. But it's probably a good thing that you haven't been getting apples so that the tree could get more established and trained.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Alyssa, thanks. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. And Dan reminded us at the top of the hour, it's Father's Day weekend. My schedule's been so crazy lately, and being on the road, we want to wish all the dads out there happy Father's Day, just like we do wish the mothers on Mother's Day, and hopefully everybody's taking care of Dad this weekend. Back to trees for a second, though. Ton, and we mention this whenever we get, deep into conversations about fruit trees, but everybody thinks when they put one in the backyard, you're going to have an instant orchard the next year, and it does take time.
It does. The disadvantage, I won't call it a disadvantage, but when you go to the garden center and buy fruit trees, a lot of times in the bucket, because those trees are already 3 or 4 years old, they have fruit on them and you're all excited because you imagine you're going to have instant fruit production. But the first thing to do when you get those trees home is to pick all that fruit off, because you want those trees to establish for 3 to 4 years before you start harvesting a lot of fruit, because you've got to develop the roots and you need to develop the branches. And so what will happen if you have a lot of fruit production on a very young tree is that the fruit will bend those branches down and potentially break them. And it just ruins the whole form of the tree and creates problems years down the road. And so that sacrifice for those first few years is well worth maximizing the longevity of the tree, because on an apple tree, sometimes you can get 40 or 50 years out of them if they're trained correctly.
Yeah. All right. I know Bruce is waiting in Tremont, and Bruce, you'll be the first one up on the other side of our news here. Jim, and I hope we're getting this right. I'm an Idaho kid, but Albion, Idaho, I'm not real sure exactly where that is, but we'll find out. And we'll check in with Jim as well. Got lines open if you want to jump in. KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. If you're in Utah County, we'll pick up the tab, 470-5751. Davis and Weber County with the area code 801-670-5751. Back right after the news with your calls in the final half hour of this week's KSL Greenhouse.
Big old tires everywhere I go.
For a limited time, buy four Big O Brand tires and get two Lagoon all-day passports.
Don't miss the KSL Family Book Festival, Saturday, June 15th at the Gateway. Presented by Security Service Federal Credit Union. There'll be music, entertainment, face painting, and my favorite, cotton candy, and the largest chalk art festival in Utah. Hosted by the Utah Foster Care Foundation. It's free!
Sponsored by Chuck-O-Rama, Pirate and Princess Parties of Utah, Custom Events, and Security Service Federal Credit Union. Visit a Security Service branch near you or online at ssfcu.org.
We'll see you there!
Good morning, 10:30 in the KSL 24-Hour Newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL's top local story. The family of a teenager charged with punching and killing soccer referee Ricardo Portillo during a youth game apologized to the man's family. This on the same day a judge determined 17-year-old Jose Domingo Terran will remain in custody while hearings are held to determine whether he'll be prosecuted as an adult. Joanna Portillo is coping with her first Father's Day without her dad.
It's bad. There's no plans. There's nothing to do. It's sad. It's tough on my little sisters. They're like, there's nothing to do.
Terran pleaded not guilty in juvenile court to homicide by assault in the death of Ricardo Portillo. A fast-acting Murray firefighter, a KSL-TV photographer, and fire crews worked together to help a family escape their home that had caught fire. The firefighter saw smoke coming from the home at about 8 a.m. Friday. He called 911 and notified the occupants. Meanwhile, KSL photographer Mark Wetzel was driving past, saw the smoke, and helped the firefighter evacuate the residents safely. Wildfire season arriving in Utah, three fires burning in the state today. The Lackey Fan Fire has consumed 800 acres near Arches. The Rock Creek Fire in eastern Utah, 235 acres so far. And this morning, a new fire in the Manti-LaSalle National Forest. The Dark Canyon Fire covers about 100 acres in a wilderness area. It's hard to get crews in there. Winds and thunderstorms threaten to spread that blaze later on today. Coming up on KSL News Radio, hot for Dad's Day. Nice day today, too. We'll check your forecast next. KSL News Time, 10:32.
Use both your KSL presets anytime you're in the car. 102.7 FM around town and 1160 AM further out. Two buttons for KSL News Radio.
In times of joy and moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Something new under the sun. Jay McFarland and Amy Iverson are the Browsers. 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. No crashes this hour, but still these ramps are closed. Eastbound, westbound I-80 to southbound I-250. And those ramps closed. That's near the airport. Also a ramp from Redwood Road to southbound I-215 closed until noon on Monday. Use I-15 to SR-201 or 700 North to access I-215 southbound. Also in Weber County, once again tonight, an overnight closure as they're removing that bridge over the I-15 for the I-84. Those northbound closures start about Farmington southbound at 31st Street in Ogden. Also the I-84 is closed as you approach Ogden overnight. And sunshine today, 86, 90 tomorrow, 63 tonight. Clearfield City, centrally located in Davis County, neighborly neighborhoods, major job centers, spacious parks, shopping and recreation. Clearfield City definitely is the city that has it made. 68 degrees now at 10:36. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic and weather station.
The KSL Greenhouse. Become a master gardener, or at least make your neighbors jealous with KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. Sorry, we're headed down the home stretch of this week's KSL Greenhouse. Matt Townsend in right after the top of the hour. But let's go to Bruce, who's on the line in Tremont as we head up I-15. How are you, Bruce?
Doing good. Hey, I've got a couple of ponderosa pines that are doing real poorly. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, in the spring, you know that, I can't remember what it's called, that little part that grows and then the needles come out of that?
The candle.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, that'll come out. They don't get very big. And then the needles will come out and then it turns yellow and then they die. But the tree, it's still growing, but it doesn't really get any height to it. I've had it in the ground for about 10 years now, and that's only about 5 feet tall.
And are they true ponderosa pine?
That's what it said when I bought them, yeah.
Okay. Well, I suspect that there could be two things going on. One, sometimes a fungus will knock out that new growth, but there's also a moth called pine tip moth that attacks a lot of pine trees that will get in there and cause that new growth to do about what you're talking about. Have you happened to cut open any of that new growth to see if you can see anything feeding in there?
I have not.
it may be good to get a pair of hand pruners and cut that open and dissect it a little bit to see if you can find any larvae or grubs or worms in there feeding inside that new growth. And have you seen any signs of fungus, any spongy or not really mushroom-looking organisms, but anything out of the ordinary that way on the new growth?
No, I haven't. It looks normal, but then it just turns yellow, you know, like it's getting too much water, but I don't even water them.
Okay. The what you could do is spray those tips before they start to elongate and just before they start. And so what you would do is watch those buds on the branch tips. When they start to swell, you would put something along the lines of 7 or maybe bifenthrin on that entire tree to see if you could prevent the insect from boring in there. I would like to make sure that it is an insect in there. And up in Tremont, and there is an extension office in Brigham City that's not too far away, and you could bring a sample in and have Mike Pace look at it and see if he can tell anything further. It's in the historic courthouse right in downtown Brigham City. Okay. But I suspect that you have something along the lines of pine tip moth in there.
Okay. And I got another question. I got ants in my flowers. And how do I get rid of them?
They are probably feeding on the flower nectar, or they actually could be even herding aphids in there so that the aphids produce that honeydew that the ants like. And so inspect the plants, make sure that there's not any aphids anywhere on the undersides of the leaves. And then you can spray to knock the population down, but unless you get to the queen, a lot of times that nest will rebuild over a period of a couple of weeks. And that can be difficult to do. So if you want to totally eliminate the nest and something like Raid or the Black Flag hasn't worked, then you could try some different baits, but sometimes you've got to try 3 or 4 different brands with different active ingredients and different baits, because sometimes the ants may like protein, sometimes they might like fat, sometimes they might like sugars. And so you can try different types of baits and try to observe what they're maybe feeding on, because if it is nectar, then they like sugar, but if you don't really see them in the flowers and things. But it's a little bit of guesswork, but the baits work really well because the poison in those baits is very slow acting, and the ants will drag that back to the queen and other ants in the colony. And there's a process called trophallaxis where they feed the food that they ingested to other ants in the colony, and then that poison over a period of a week or two kills the entire colony, hopefully. And so try some baits out there if the raid and Black Flag hasn't worked.
All righty. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Bruce, thanks. All right, let's go to Jim. And did we get it right, Jim? Albion, and if I'm remembering right, aren't you out around Snowville somewhere?
We're up at Burley.
Okay. But you're on I-84, right?
Yes, off of it a little ways. We're at 5,000 foot elevation, just outside of Burley, Idaho.
All right.
I know I've seen the signs. Yeah, go ahead. I go to Twin Falls quite a bit, and I've seen the Albion somewhere on 84, and I wasn't sure where.
Yeah, right there at that Declo exit.
Yeah, I was talking earlier about having worked in my teenage years on wheat farm out there in the Raft River area, so I wasn't too far from where you are.
Yeah, that's real close.
Yeah, all right, tell us what's going on.
You had a caller earlier ask about raspberries, and the question was, they're growing up all over, and I know you said to rototill them up in between the rows, but if I heard you correctly, then you said that many growers will just mow the rows even down.
It depends. Yes, I did, and it depends on the type of raspberry you are growing. If you have a fall bearer, or oftentimes the fall bearers will do a double crop, then the option is you can cut those to the ground in late fall or early spring, and you'll get a very heavy fall crop instead of two moderate crops. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the growers that I'm familiar with will grow some summer berries, and then they grow the double cropping ones, but they mow them to the ground so they get a really heavy fall crop, and they can time the.
You're talking about two different.
Yes, I am. There's the summer producing raspberries, and then what generally are called the fall producing, but the fall producing ones will do two moderate crops at different times of the year.
Kind I'm grub bought were June raspberries. Although here at this elevation, a June raspberry is actually July.
Yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah, so I didn't see how I could have a crop if I mowed.
You can't. In this instance, you cannot. And so you make sure that you have a variety that bears in the fall. And if you do, those can be mowed to the ground.
Yeah. Okay, then. Okay, I was just, I knew that answer. I just didn't quite understand your answer to that question.
Well, appreciate you clarifying that in case there's other folks confused.
Okay, good enough. Thank you, guys. Good program.
All right, Jim.
Okay.
Thanks. Good to hear from you up there. Nancy in Saratoga Springs. Hi.
I knew that answer.
Nancy, I'll tell you what. I can hear the radio in the background. Good time to remind everybody. Turn your radio down in the background. Make sure you listen to your handset. There is a delay in what comes out your way over the radio, and that way we'll avoid some confusion. Have we got you, Nancy?
Hi.
Hi there.
Yes, I have a question. I love your program about I have a tree, a fruitless mulberry tree that's not leafing out. It has buds on it, but are they slow to leaf out? Or
they should be leafing out by now. But the mulberries are extremely slow as compared to many other trees. They're usually the last tree in the neighborhood to leaf out. The birch and the aspen usually come out first with the willows, and then you slowly transition. But on that list of when the trees leaf out, the mulberries are always last. Sometimes they're even later than sycamore.
So it has buds on it, but that doesn't mean...
Are the buds expanding at all?
Yeah, they seem to be, yeah.
Be patient with it and see what it does. I think it is a little late for those, but if they're expanding, give it some time and see if it produces those leaves, because they traditionally are very late.
Okay, they are late. Okay, yeah, I realize that. So that's why my neighbors are saying, oh, what happened? Your tree is dead. But I'm just being patient and waiting. Right.
It very well could be, but if you are seeing those buds expand, give it another month or so and see what happens.
Yeah. We have a peach tree also. It's full of the small peaches. And there's sucker leaves that are showing up. Is it okay to take those sucker leaves off? Or
where are they showing up?
Oh, just all over. In some places, they do even have a small little peach attached to them.
Okay, the peaches will fruit off one-year-old wood. And so if there's a little sucker there and it has a peach, it was probably there from last year. So on your tree, the way to manage the fruit is you want about one peach for every 6 inches to foot of branch.
Okay.
And you don't want the peaches in clusters. You want one peach where a cluster of peaches would have been. And so a commercial grower will oftentimes only have on a mature tree between 80 and 100 peaches, but they'll be monster-sized peaches. And that maintains the health of the tree. You get a really good crop, and it reduces the stress load so that the peach will continue to produce for hopefully years into the future.
So we should be thinning out those small peaches.
Yes, you should. So you want one peach for every 6 inches to foot of branch.
Okay.
And then on those suckers, if their tree is sprouting a lot of new suckers, if you wanted to pinch some of those with your fingernail when they're very small, you can do that. But a lot of those new suckers are going to produce next year's peaches, and so you can also remove them in early spring.
Oh, so leave them on when we see this.
You can.
Sucker growth for right now.
Yes. You know, if they're near the ground or in areas that are obviously you don't want branches, you can pinch those out when they're very young. But otherwise, you can do your pruning in the early spring.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. And thanks for the phone call. We do appreciate it. Let's take our break here. We'll come back with our final segment of this week's KSL Greenhouse in just a minute. Brent, Mike, Roger, we should have time to get all three of you. And so be patient. We're coming up on the other side of this break on the KSL Greenhouse at 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Attention anyone 55 and older, including Medicare recipients. Do you or someone you know suffer from arthritis pain or wake up with stiff, sore knees? Do your knees hurt when you go up and down stairs, and are you unable to enjoy activities you've always loved to do? Have you been told or feel like knee replacement surgery is in your future and you're tired of living with the pain? If so, there's good news for you. You could be a candidate for non-surgical FDA-approved knee rehabilitation program that works and will help you. Their safe and effective treatment can help you live a normal, healthy, and active lifestyle again and start enjoying the things you love. Call to find out more about improving your life. Call Maplewood Medical Group at 801-268-2929 for the location nearest you. That's 801-268-2929. Or you can find them on the web at maplewoodmedical.com. Get out of pain and start enjoying your life again. Call now. Maplewood Medical Group, 801-268-2929.
Don't miss the Dave's Bernina semi-annual sale Saturday, June 15th with a special one-day financing offer. 0% interest until January 2017.
Dave's Bernina, 268 West Center Street in Provo, 691 East St. George Boulevard. Come on in.
Fantastic savings and special offers.
And Saturday, June 15th is also the Dave's Bernina annual garage and clean-out sale. Incredible deals. Lots of closeout items, many items 50% or more, marked down. Think about the creativity, pride, and accomplishment that a new Bernina sewing, embroidery, or quilting machine has to offer. 0% interest until January 2017. See store for details. Make sure you take in the one-day Dave's Bernina semi-annual sales event and garage sale. Saturday, June 15th, 268 West Center Street in Provo and at the corner of 7th East and St. George Boulevard.
That's Dave's Bernina.
Follow us on davesbernina.com, Twitter, and Facebook.
Hey, it's me, the regular dad. I ask guys like you a few questions, a kind of parenting test. So here goes. What is this sound? Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's the sound a young teenager makes when he's done something he regrets. Maybe he got caught up in peer pressure, tried a few drinks at a party, and the next morning, well, he makes this sound. Kind of a sad sound, isn't it? Hear the embarrassment, the reluctance, the pulling away. If you recognize it, then you know exactly what to do. Listen. It might take a long time. A drive together, or a walk that turns into a talk, and that turns into an arm around his shoulder that means you understand. I know, it's tough. Keep at it. You're doing great.
This message brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This message is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in partnership with FM 100.3, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Salt Lake City.
Call the KSL Greenhouse with your questions. We're at KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. And it's only on KSL News Radio.
All right, let's see. We've got, as we figured it, about 3.5, 4 minutes, somewhere in that range.
Oh, wait a minute. I did it all wrong. Sorry.
All right.
Let's do this.
Jeff forgot. All right, so we're counting the minutes here. We've got about 4 minutes. 4 minutes only to finish out the program. That feels more like it. And quick, let's get... Oh, before we get to the phones, want to say thank you to Kat, who has been working behind the scenes, Todd, to make sure that the KSL Greenhouse now has a... Everybody go to Facebook, and I think it's just KSL Greenhouse, right?
It is. If you go to Facebook and search KSL Greenhouse Show, it'll pop up. She's done a fantastic job. We'll try to keep things updated there on what we're covering on the show and keep where we're going to be at and a lot of things of that nature.
So, yeah, she so does make sure you like job. That page when you get it. Yeah, make sure you like that page when you get on Facebook. All right, Mike in Ogden, go ahead with your question.
Hi there. I heard you talk last week about how if you want to selectively use Roundup in your flower garden to kill stuff like your quiet grass or morning glory, you can kind of put that in a container and use to put the runners in that. And I've used that, and I appreciate your pointing that out. But my real question is, to kill aspen in my lawn, could I use weed and feed? How effective would that be to kill the suckers?
Not effective at all. There's a couple of... things you need to be aware of. One, the weed and feed would need to stick to the leaves themselves right. to be effective. But two, those suckers are oftentimes connected to a mother tree, and you always run the risk of damaging the parent tree if you kill the suckers. So all you can do is clip them and maybe use a product called Sucker Stopper to keep them from coming back from that point.
But if I lay it over and put it on them, or if I make them wet, so it'd stick to them, that still wouldn't work.
That would do it, but you run the risk of damaging the parent tree.
Darn it. That means I wouldn't have to fight with them next year.
Yeah. Go out at midnight, spray the whole thing with Roundup, and your problems are gone.
I'm not going to fess up on KSL. Anyway, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just in case the neighbors are listening,
right? That's right.
All right, Mike, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Have a good Father's Day weekend. Jeff and Logan, go.
Have a shaded area that I need a small bush for. Excellent drainage, acidic soil. Was wondering if there's any kind of rhododendron or mountain laurel that may not grow there up in Logan.
Have you had the soil tested to be sure it's acidic?
It's growing maple, paper bark maples, and daphnes. So
those don't necessarily need acidic soil.
Don't they?
No.
They haven't, but it's been heavily amended with PFAS.
Okay. There's a fact sheet online, actually, concerning blueberries, on how to grow blueberries, and a lot of the points in that fact sheet, because blueberries are related very closely to azaleas and rhododendrons and mountain laurels. Download blueberries. Just if you go Google blueberries, are they worth it in USU, it'll bring up the fact sheet. Follow those instructions in there, and you will be able to grow your rhodies and azaleas and things. It just depends on how much effort you want to put into it.
Yeah, they have to be fairly perfect from what I understand.
They do. I've seen people do it, and they've been very beautiful, but they're hobbyists that like to play in the yard a little bit for them to succeed.
Any other suggestions for a small bush for shade?
There are many of them out there. Up for Logan, something that would be completely hardy would be alpine currant or even the fruiting currants, and gooseberries are very nice. There's some smaller yew shrubs that do very well. And then also the Semphorocarpus. What's the give me a minute. I'm having a memory loss here. But there are many
there
shrubs.
You go with
that
your
do
Latin
well.
Again.
Yeah. So if you stop into either the greenhouse or Tony's or Zollinger's, Minden Nursery, any of them will have a good selection of plants that will do well in the shade.
Okay. Super. Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Tom, looks like we lost him, so we're going to go to George quickly in Salt Lake City, see if we can't get George taken care of in the last minute we've got left in the show today. George, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Hey, I've got a lilac bush that's been in the ground for about 4 or 5 years, and every spring the blossom clusters act like they're going to break out, but they just don't quite make it. This year they looked really, really good, but I think the weather might have had something to do with it. But anyway, only about a third of the blossoms actually opened.
Do you know if they were nipped by frost at all?
I don't know that it was frosted. I just know it turned cold, and it may have been some frost.
Is if you had spotty frost and only a third of the blossoms came out, on the other ones, did they try to leaf out or flower out, and then they looked pretty bad, or did they ever flower out at all?
Well, they just, they swelled up real nice. I thought they were about ready to break open, and then they just, the progress just stopped. and only a few of them actually opened.
Okay.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, Ton, if we can, we'll take care of George off the air because we're up against a heartbreak here. George, don't hang up. Ton will help you in just a second. We need to wrap it up, though. Ton, thanks as always. Have a great week.
You too. Have a good weekend.
And we'll be with you next week live from New York City. But happy Father's Day weekend to everybody. Matt Townsend is coming up next. Have a great weekend.
Enter to win the KSL Father's Day Grand Prize Giveaway. Visit KSLNewsRadio.com to win. The prize includes a $200 shopping spree from RC Willie, an overnight stay at Snowbird's Cliff Lodge, plus all-day Snowbird activity passes for four, plus a Father's Day gift basket from Siegel Book. That's over $800 in prizes. Enter today. Go to KSLNewsRadio.com and tell us about the special dad in your life. That's KSLNewsRadio.com. Happy Father's Day from KSL News Radio.
This is KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's first source for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, severe weather.